Okay, I want to begin with the second ikar in the Rambam's 13 ikarim. I'll read it to you inside first. Ani ma'amin b'emunah shleima. I believe a complete belief. I mean, I have knowledge as best as I possibly could. Shabor yizbaruch shemo hu yachid v'ein yichidus kmo b'shum panim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator, is one. There is no one like His one at all. U'levadu elokeinu, He alone is our God. Haya hove v'yeh, He was, He is. And he will be. Okay, so at first glance, is like the word yachid, or the word yichud, has a simple meaning. No one else is like him. You know, it's a hard thing to appreciate because in reality, we'd imagine we're all unique. We're all in a way that no one is like us. But even in the simplest meaning, there's nothing like him. You know, even though maybe we're all unique, there are other human beings like us. There are other things that are in the same category as us. There is nothing in God's category. There's no other God. There's no other creator. Nothing else is like him. Now, the Rambam explains in what way is nothing like him. Obviously, he's a creator. Maybe you'd argue that people who invent are creating things. So what about God makes him, again, obviously his creations and our inventions, you can't really compare the level of creativity. God created, as we mentioned last time, Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. So he's definitely qualitative level, much, much greater than anyone who created from something else, but they're still called creations. They still create certain things. So what about God is so different? So the Rambam brings down and he explains one thing that's very different about God is that he's not comprised of parts. I mean, there's nothing, there aren't pieces of God put together that make one big being called God. As opposed to us, you know, us and our minds are different. For example, if God forbid someone get into an accident and have amnesia, they still might be them, though they don't remember their thoughts anymore, and vice versa. A person could, God forbid, get into an accident and lose complete bodily control, and yet he still has his mind working fully. So our behaviors, our actions, and our mind, and our intellect, and our understanding are separate things. You can't have one without the other one. God is one entity. There aren't parts to God. Now, why does that matter? What's the big deal with that? And why is that something that we really care to make one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, according to the Rambam? I mean, why does the fact that God has no parts to him, that he's just one being, why would that affect us in a way where if you don't have that level of belief, then you would be lacking one of the principles of faith? So I want to read from a line that Rav Pinkus has just to put this things in perspective a little better. He says, Etzleinu yesh musagim. We have by us different, again, different ideas, different topics. Hadash shal ruvein, habina shal ruvein, Chesed shel Reuven. Reuven has knowledge. Reuven can understand. Reuven is doing chesed. Eitzel Kadosh Baruch Hu ein musag achesed Kadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to God, there's no idea of it's God's kindness. It's just called God. That's God, right? God's knowledge. No, that's just called God. El yesh mitzis achas shu abor yizal. There's one existence, which is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. She's at kol kol shleimus, and that existence includes everything and is perfection in its entirety. Again, we're stressing and are focusing on this point that God's not made up of different parts and pieces to make one being. The question still is, what is that? Why is that so significant? Why is that such an important yisod as an ikar? If you don't believe that, you'd be lacking basic levels of the moon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, I'm reading from Rav Pinkus. He says, Kol nivraim hei murkavim. Every other creation has pieces that make it up. When God created the first moment of physical existence, he created something called Chomer and something called Tzura. Chomer means it has physical mass, and Tzura is he fashioned that mass into something else. Every single thing in the world has that. It has a mass, and that mass was created something else. Meaning if you would break ourselves down, us down, we're physical pieces, we're cells, we're bones, and then we're formed with all those raw materials together. Every single thing in the world has that. There's no existing thing that is not comprised of both chomer, physical mass, and tzura, and the way that mass takes form or takes shape. But God's not like that. God is just one thing. There's not pieces. It's not a mass and then in a form. It just is. He's not comprised of mass and then form something else afterwards. We have no idea what this means, so it's very hard for us to kind of talk about it and speak about it. But all we can understand is that when it comes to anything in this world, there's nothing above God, meaning above, meaning that's too hard for God to do. Nothing is beneath God. Nothing is too lowly for God to do. As an example, so, you know, I see Eitan over here is in camp. So when you're in camp, you might feel like I have a certain role. And someone asks him, it's not your job. You might say, listen, that's not my role. It's not my job. If someone would say, you know, take the garbage out and throw it to the dumpster, you might be like, listen, you know, I'd love to be of help, but it's not what I'm asked to do. It's not my position. I'm going to turn that down. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, nothing is above him, meaning he can do anything he wants to, of course. Nothing is below him either, meaning every single creation, the smallest thing of the smallest animal, every single thing is in God's reign, is in God's ability to do. It's hard for us to comprehend, but since God's not made up of parts, he just is everything he is, then anything that's in the world is here because he is here. It's not an aspect of God that put this thing there. God himself is the reason why that thing exists. The truth is, the real source, this idea of of God being one, we know we say every day, Makabel Omahu Shemaim, we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does it mean, Hashem Echad, God is one? It means two things. It means the most basic meaning, there is no other God except for Elokeinu, except for our God. That's one thing. But it also means that God is one, meaning that everything about him is oneness. There aren't parts put together. It's just one thing called God. Now, how does that relate to Yichud? How does that make something be so significant that Kabbalah's Omahu Shemayim, accepting God upon ourselves, the yoke of heaven, is the key of Yichud Shemayim? How does that exactly relate? So I'm going to get back to that in a minute, but I'll quote to you an unbelievable line that's found in the Tanna de Be'eliyahu Zutta. Again, I'm reading to you from the Sefer of Pinkus in Nefesh Shimshon. He has the following line, which at first glance seems to be, you know, very obvious, which is why we're going to have a problem understanding what it means in a minute. It says, Im tomar, mishakara harbe, mishina harbe. If someone would say to you, this person learned a lot, he learned a lot of Torah, learned a lot of Mishnah, umishakara vishina kima, versus someone else who learned a little bit and studied a little bit of Mishnah. Yehi mor pneim shavin ke'echad b'me'or panim le'olam haba. If someone would say to you that their level of connection in Olam Haba, their glow in Olam Haba is the same, what do you say back? You say, ain't okay, it's not true. It's not the same level of glow in Olam Haba. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, she'ein lefanav maso panim. Shem is great that he doesn't show favorites, meaning he lets you, he gives you reward based upon your actions and your working in this world. Kol echad v'echad lefi darko. Each person is according to his own level. Now, if I would have asked you, any of you beforehand, you know, if someone does 100 times of learning, if someone does one time of that learning, you know, he's at 100th worth, would you even have a havamina? Would you think for a second that they should be in the same level of haras panim, of inspiration, of glow in Shemayim? You would never think in a million years that they would have the same level of glow in Shemayim. So what in the world is the chiddush of the Tanna de Be'eliyahu Zutta? Again, Tanna de Be'eliyahu is telling us, if someone would say to you, he learned 100 hours and he learned only 1 hour, how do you know that, you know, maybe they should have the same level of Olam Haba connection? We say, oh, that's not true. They're on the same level. I would never have thought they showed the same level. So what's the chiddush over here? Why would we think otherwise? So he has the most unbelievable pshat or pinkus to explain this idea, this havamina. Again, it goes back to God's oneness. God is one entity, and God is infinite. So think about this for a second. He says, if I learn Torah, Torah learning connects me to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if I touch infinite, you know, what's infinite plus infinite? It's the same as infinite. It's all infinite. The moment that God is just one, he's one infinite thing. It's not comprised of any parts whatsoever. So if I have a little touch on that infinite, that means that I now connected to infinite. Which means if I connect to infinite one time, you connect to infinite 100 times, well, we're both in infinite. There's no more beyond it. What I did it one time, there's no more. 100 times, one time, is all the same. It's infinite or infinite, and therefore they're equal. So you'd actually have a real havamina. Because God is this one being that's not comprised of parts, but the moment you touch any part of him, then you have touched upon infinite, then it shouldn't matter if I touch him 25,000 times or only one time. I just tapped into the infinite. And once I'm infinite, then it's the same as you did it 25,000 times, or I did it one time. That's the havamina. That's what one would think should be the case. that once you connect, because God's not comprised of parts, but he's just one entity, that should mean that once you've touched upon him, then you're in, you're done, you're good. The Chiddush, though, is that's not true. The Chiddush is that even though, and I can't explain this part because we don't understand how this works, but if you touch God at one point, someone else touches God 25,000 times, so you've both touched infinite, and therefore are part of the infinite being of God, nevertheless, 25,000 times of infinite apparently is even more, not mathematically I'm talking of, just in the ha'ara, in the glow you have in Shemayim, more than that one time. And by the way, then he brings down, he says, imagine now what happens in your Mevatel Torah. If you're Mevatel Torah, that means that you had the opportunity to touch infinite another time. And that infinite touch that you didn't take advantage of will forever be on part of your record, that you missed an opportunity to be even more connected to the infinite. Again, at first glance, you think, what's the big deal? If I'm in an infinite one time or 25,000 times, infinite is infinite. So the Chiddush is, that's the Havmina. And therefore, it makes sense why we were surprised to learn otherwise. But we do learn otherwise. And therefore, at the end of the day, when you touch into infinite one time or 25,000 times, there is a great difference to your ultimate place that you dwell in Olam Haba. I want to turn my attention for a minute just to a piece brought down over here as well by Rav Moshe Shapira. Moshe Shapira brings down, he explains, the reason why it's important for us to focus on God being one and not having parts is because parts are limited, meaning your leg goes up to a certain part of your body and then it stops. Chesed is limited. It means that chesed is up to here, and that's at this point it stops, chesed stops, and now you have din, let's say. So if God had parts to him, it means that every single part to God would be limited. By definition, if you're limited, every limited plus limited does not equal infinite. Limits means that you're finite. And therefore, since Hashem is Ein Sof, he's completely infinite, there are no parts and there are no limits. And that's the reason why it's so important to understand what the Yichud of Hashem is. It's not only that he's one, there is no creator. He's one, there are no parts to him at all. And that's not the way people usually understand what it means that God is Yachid. They think it means there's one thing that created the world and it's just God. But it means much more than that. It means that that one thing itself is only one. It's one thing without any parts that are attached to it. I want to read one more line, this time from Moshe Shapira as well. A very powerful idea. And this goes back to why is Omahu Shemayim, is the Kriyat Shema, why is that connected to the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Omahu Shemayim? Kol Amidos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mizgal Behen, every character trait, quote-unquote, of God that's revealed, Einan Michuyevos Michayavos Nivraim, does not require creations to reveal it. That character trait is there, even without it being actualized in the world. Meaning, if God is kind, he's kind whether there's people there or not. It could be he can't shower kindness on anything else, but it doesn't mean he isn't kind. You just can't see it. The same thing with chesed, with judgment, with din, with every other character trait of God, it exists whether you can see it or not. I mean, like right now, I can't hear right now the radio playing, but there are right now waves, frequency going on that I just haven't tapped into, but it is going on right now. Kadosh Baruch Hu could be a Baal Chesed without you seeing it. It could be a Baal Midas Adin without you noticing it. For each and every character trait, for God to be that perfect character trait does not require creations or people or things here in order to have that character trait. Skipping a little bit. But the two exceptions are Malchus and Kavod. They cannot exist. You can't have Malchus. You can't have Malchus in the world without having something to be a Melech over. And because there is Malchus in the world, there are those who can be Mechabe the Melech. And therefore, the two traits that require things in the world for you to be recognized are Malchus and Kavod. Ein Melech below Am. You can't have a Melech without a nation. The term, the descriptive term of the word Melech has to have something you are ruling over. And therefore, in order for there to be a Melech, there has to be a nation, there has to be creations in the world. That's why Shema is an essential, Kabbalah's Almuchu Shemayim is essential. For us, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for us to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yichud in the world. The second Ani Mamina, Hashem is Yachid, is unique and individual. Olamahu Shemayim is required for that to exist. Because every other part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his chesed and his din, do not require anything on our part. But the one area that does require it is Hashem's malchus. That requires us to play a role to make Hashem a yachid as our melech. And that's the reason why Shema plays such a central role in our religion, in our belief, and in our davening. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the day, is a melech because we are his nation. And that's a trait that God can't express without something to express it over. Melech requires an am. And kavod requires people to recognize it. And therefore, it's important and significant. That's the reason why Rosh Shapiro brings down Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the idea of Hashem's Yichud, the idea of Ol Malchus Shemayim have to go hand in hand. Because that's the one area in the world where we need us in order to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu his Yichud in its fullest extent. Okay. It could be that if we that in some ways, if we're not Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, we don't do it properly, then we'll still be a representation of Hashem's Malchus, of the Kavod of Hashem's Malchus. We have two ways that you could see Kavod in a Melech. One way is people who respect that Melech with great appreciation and love and honor. That's option one, and that exists. That's what Shema is for. So we can express God's Baruch Hu, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You are our Melech. You're the only one for us. And that is expressing our Malchus in a positive way. You could have a Russia also in the world where you could see Kavod Malchus through Russia. How? If you have a terrible person in the world and Hashem gives him his just dues, he makes that Russia pay for what he's done, that's also Kavod Malchus. When someone reacts negatively against God and God will give, quote unquote, nekama, that also demonstrates Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Because you can't talk that way. If someone would curse God and at that moment he would drop dead, you know, a missile would fall to Shemayim and blow the guy up. That's Kavod Malchus. You can't speak about the king without that happening. It shows a tremendous amount of honor of the king. It's actually David HaMelech. When he was about to die from the world, he asked his son Shlomo HaMelech to take over and to kill Shimi ben Gera, a person who David HaMelech promised not to kill. Now, David HaMelech's final words, and Chaim Shmulevitz and Sichos Musar discussed this as well, his final words was to request from his son, take vengeance for me from Shimi ben Gera. And Chaim Shmulevitz asked, I don't understand. Vengeance is something we try out in the Kama. We try to avoid at all costs. How come this is the last thing that David HaMelech, the greatest, one of the greatest people ever lived, is going to be focusing on? Why is he focusing on the Kama, on revenge and vengeance? Because that demonstrates true Kavod Malchus. Because when a Melech, someone speaks bad about a Melech and gets away with it, that means something's wrong with the Malchus. The Malchus is lacking. So we are, by definition, always going to be serving as a sign of Kavod Malchus Shemayim. But in one of two ways. In accepting it and embracing it, in the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, and the glory we give God, or God forbid, the opposite. The moment that we reject the Kadosh Baruch Hu, God forbid, and someone rejects him, then Kavod Malchus will be watching that person struggle through life, the suffering that person entails. That will be the ultimate Kavod of a Kadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the day. And I'll end with one last point over here, if I can. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnah, in his Perush HaMishnah of Maseches Machlos, the very last part of Maseches Machlos. We have this idea brought down, and it's a famous idea, we say it, this concept. V'chanim ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zachas Yisrael, Tichach Yerba Lem Torah Mitzvot. Hashem wanted to give us many Zchuyos. So what did he do? He gave us 613 mitzvahs. Now, one second. If Hashem wants to give me many Zchuyos, shouldn't he give me like 5 mitzvahs? I'll do those 5 really well. 613 means I'm going to mess up a lot of them probably. Why is that a way to be mezakim me when you give me so many laws that I got a better chance of messing some of them up on? So the Rambam brings down his parish mission of fascinating Kiddush. He says, all you have to do in your lifetime is one mitzvah, one time, perfectly, home run. That's all you need to do is one mitzvah, one time. Because that creates full dveikus b'Hashem. Because Hashem is only one. He's all the only one. He is one. Every part of him is one. If I touch God at one point, then I've connected to the infinite in a very serious way, in a very serious fashion. And therefore, back to our point over here, to be mechabed shem shemayim, to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, it requires me with one area, of one part, of one time in my life, to touch the infinite wisdom of God, and that will give me nitzchius, that gives me the connection to the one being of God. If it was God with different parts, I connect only to that one part of God. But since God is one thing, it's not comprised of different selections and different pieces, then anytime I touch to any one part of God, I'm fully connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to close up shop right now and to sum it up, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, he's Yachid, and he's Miyuchad. He is one, which means that he's not broken down into parts, he's Echad. He's Yachid, which means there's nothing else like God. He is a creator of creators, nothing else is like God. And he's Meyuchad, which means that only he, singularly, is involved in everything in the world. Nothing is above him, and nothing is beneath him. Everything here is due to him, and everything here will be acting as Kavod Malchus Shemayim, either in the way you connect to God and become part of infinite, or in the way that Nebuch, lo aleinu, you would get punished for not connecting to God and for being separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll read this last line, just to, again, to bring this point home. Well, I'll say this part outside, just to conclude over here. And that is the following. When it comes to Baruch Hu, we describe Hashem as being to sum everything up. And I read again, Mishnah, the Iker one more time. I believe that Munah Shleim Hashem Boris Baruch Shemo Hu Yachid. He is singular in parts. He's only one part to him. Ein Yechidus B'Kamo B'Shum Panim. He's not one of something else. He is the definition of one. Hu Levadu Elokeinu. O Malchu Shemayim, only he is our God. Hai Ho Bevia, he was, he is, and he always will be. And that Yisod is significant to understand that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, Bigadol, there's not an area in the world that is lacking and that is separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we will all be at some point in time Mechabed Malchu Shemayim, either in our behaviors or our connection to the infinite way of God. And even one time you learn one thing or you do one mitzvah entirely, then you have gathered for yourself a place to connect to infinite God, not peace God, not arm of God or chesed of God. There is no breakdown. You touch infinite, you are infinite. The chiddush is that infinite 25,000 times is more than infinite only one time. That's a chiddush in mathematics. But it's not a chiddush when it comes to God. Because Baruch Hu runs the world in a way, then the more mechabed, the more kavod malchus shemayim you give, the more opportunity we have to be connecting to God on all those levels. We should be zocha, we should merit to understand emunah shlema. We can't fully understand, of course, but that full belief and appreciation. This is the reality of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we should be able to always try to attach ourselves in the positive kavod malchus shemayim, and not Nebuch, the one where our downfall is the kavod of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shkoyach for joining me. Have a great day.